Let's all stand together. We're going to lift up our voices as we sing, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise," and then "His Robes for Mine." We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. His robes for mine, oh wonderful exchange, clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ, God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He, as though I, accursed and left alone. I, as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
Amen. Good to see each of you out tonight. I look over here and I see the Thompsons down off of Lincoln Mountain. I just talked to them this morning. They had a snowstorm up there last night on Lincoln. So each time they can make it back, I'm surprised they make it off that mountain. It's amazing. I'm just teasing you. They did tell me, though, they got an inch of snow last night. I thought, what? I thought we would pass the snow. Man, and this afternoon when I came out from church, I opened the door out there, and it was beautiful sunshine when I stepped out to shake hands. Within 15 minutes, it was completely clouded over and rainy through the day. But I enjoyed my 10 minutes of sunshine standing out there shaking hands. That was a blessing. Good to have you in church this evening. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would guide and direct throughout our evening. We pray for your Holy Spirit to work and to move. Help us to be yielded to you, Lord. I do ask that you'd be with us as we lift up our voices in song and in prayer. And we ask that you would minister to our hearts as we open your word and search the scriptures. We thank you in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
And as you're seated, let's continue in singing. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, God supplies strength unknown. He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, every loving word we
our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. And please be seated.
Amen. Let's take just a couple moments. This afternoon, right after church, I had the privilege of going up to my office and sitting down with a young couple and chatting for a few minutes, and then the mom took her little boy, went for a walk, and I sat down and I visited with the husband, and we chatted and talked through some things, and he bowed his head and he received Christ as his Savior. And for me, those are the highlight moments, when you can sit down and open the Bible and you can just go through and talk to somebody about salvation and their soul and their need to come to Christ, and then to see them willingly and gladly, you not happen to twist their arm, not that I do that, but they're ready. They've thought about it, they've prayed about it, they've thought, they're ready. And so I thought we'd take a few minutes this evening and just see if some folks will give their testimony of salvation. We see God answer prayer all the time, don't we? I see Ann sitting back here. She drove herself to church tonight, right? Because all the prayers, we prayed that she'd get her car back. We put the word out there. She found somebody to drive her car from all the way from where? North Carolina to Vermont. And now she's driving herself around. She's free. She can go do whatever she wants. She's like a teenager now. But that was an answer to prayer. And we pray all the time. And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't recognize the big and small prayers that God answers all around us. And one of those things is we pray for people to come to Christ. We pray for souls to be saved. And so today was exciting in the afternoon for me to sit down and be able to just show that gentleman how he could accept Christ into his heart and into his soul. So looking for a couple of folks who just say, yeah, let me share how I came to Christ and give your testimony so that we can rejoice in that. Anybody? Start off. Yes.
Jonas Hastings. I came to Christ in November of 2021. I was involved in a car accident because of actions I did myself. And in that moment, upside down in the ditch, I came out of the back of my truck and I said, okay, God. It was that moment that I knew God had been knocking on my door. And I came here the next morning, and I think that next week you and I sat down, I received the Lord, and then I was baptized 3 weeks later, I believe.
Amen. Amen. And Jonas is a truck driver. He's been gone. Last time I knew you were you were headed out to the Midwest to haul pigs, I think it was.
Cows.
Yeah. Yep. And are you done back, or you
I'm diving back home now for good.
Okay, all right. So good to have you here, Jonas. And somebody else, just give your testimony of when you received Christ as your Savior. I think most of us here have. Doris?
Probably everybody knows about my.
But we're never tired of hearing it, Doris.
Well, that's a rave for the bus ministries, for kids that go on the bus, because I read all the information that this nice church sent home with my kids in Sunday school, and I came and visited all the time, every now and then, sporadic, and then one day there was a mother-daughter banquet, and my girls invited me to come with them, and that was the Birch Church down in Ferrisburg, and I was led by the Lord down there in that
Amen.
Church. We've got it all.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Yes.
I want to say 2011, I became homeless. And I lived at the John Graham Shelter in Virgins. Moved to the Charter House for a little bit. And then moved up to on what is now a new place in Burlington, which was back then Burlington Emergency Shelter. And it was run by this Christian pastor. I knew Jesus, but knowing Jesus and knowing Jesus is completely different. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. And at that point, I was like, I'm at rock bottom. There's nowhere else for me to go but up. And in May of 2012, I received Jesus. In September of that year, I was baptized.
Amen. Amen. Great testimonies. Anybody else want to give you a testimony of salvation? Dave, right here.
Christmas Eve day of 1965, living in California, and there'd been chickenpox going around. My younger brother, John, just a year and a half apart, he wasn't getting better. And on that day, my folks took him into the base hospital, and my sister and I were on the car just singing every silly Christmas song there was. My brother died. My mom said that it was quite a long time after that that I didn't smile or anything. And we were in a good church. We didn't practice Christ at home at all, but through the preaching of his name is Dale Bethel in the Atwater Baptist Church, I realized I was a sinner. My dad was already over in Vietnam, as he was for a lot of time, but I realized I was a sinner. Very simple message that we're all sinners. Christ was the only way to resolve that sin. And at the age of 8, I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Was baptized immediately after that. The testimony after that is that I took that as fire insurance and just lived my life as I chose to. And my dad retired me back here to Vermont, which is where the youth group in Middlebury I introduced to Banji. And I really will admit that it wasn't until Banji and I got married that immediately after that I said, hey, let's really impress God with how wonderful we are by reading the Bible together. Band is a much better person than I am. But it's through really truly seeking the Word of God that I realized that being saved and living for God are two different things. And I praise Him for having mercy on my soul and having mercy on my life by allowing me to serve the Creator and Master and Lover of my soul.
Amen. Debbie.
I was brought up Catholic and was Catholic for 40 years. And I thought that was it. I was baptized. I was made my confirmation, First Communion, got married in the church, all that stuff, and didn't really understand the Bible. I went to church because if I didn't go to church, there was going to be trouble. Not that I was forced to go. It was just a habit I made of going. But then back in 1980, I had a little upset with one of the priests in Middlebury that kind of turned me right off, and I just stopped going to church. And it was definitely something missing. All those years of not doing anything on Sunday morning, my mother said, you don't go to church Saturday night, you go to church Sunday morning. So that one day I was thinking about how guilty I felt for having the bad feelings about the words I had with that priest or the priest had with me. And Brother Louis pulls in the air. It was in the wintertime, it was in November, and he came through the door. I don't know why he was there, but all I know is once he left, it was like somebody switched the light on and said, I'm going to go to his church. I need to go to a church. I'm going to go to his church.
Amen.
And I got saved.
So you came to church, and who led you to the Lord?
I'm going to say Louis opened the door.
Yeah.
Because then I started coming to church, and I just felt, now I know that I am saved. I am going to go to heaven. I didn't know any of that stuff when I was a Catholic.
Right, right.
All I knew was I was afraid to go to confession and all that stuff. And it was just like the day he pulled in that yard and opened that door, it was like...
He came in and talked to you.
It opened my eyes that I needed church, but I didn't need the church I was going to.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Testimony of salvation. Testimony of salvation. Terry, you'll be the last one.
I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 37, and I went forward to an invitation at Addison Baptist Church when Pastor Wild was the pastor there, and he preached the gospel, saying as you do, and he had an invitation, and I went forward and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and it truly was a biggest blessing I ever had in my life. Really changed me in many ways. You know, I'm far from perfect, but thank God he paid the price for me to have hope in heaven.
Amen.
And that's the greatest thing you can have. You know, and that really gave me the courage to want to get to my family and friends and people to present the Lord to them, you know, that they can have heaven and know if they confess their sin and repent of their sins and turn to Christ, that they can have a hope in heaven. And that really is, I think, the most important thing for any one of us to get forward to people. You know, I see things, you know, many times, even between Christians, not getting along, you know. And I look at it this way, you know, the Lord forgave me of my sins and gave me a home in heaven, as much of a sinner as I am and was. You know, even while I was yet a sinner, he loved me and received me as one of his children. You know, I think that's the most important message. I think when Christians think of other things to dwell on other than that, they really aren't. They're letting the prince and the power of the air here in the world lead them and not the Holy Spirit. And that really breaks my heart. You know, I've had Christian brothers really come against me and call me names and things, but I still love them and I forgive them. And, you know, I thank God for that, giving me the Holy Spirit, the ability to do that and not have a hate towards them.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you very much, Terry.
Each and every one of us needs. Thank you, folks.
Okay, very good. Sandra Jo, I see you raise your hand.
I know he was the last one, but this isn't my testimony per se, but I took home Octavia, who got saved a few weeks ago in your office, and she was going to get baptized on Easter Sunday morning at the early service. So she came to do work with the Easter egg hunt. And I took her home, and I was just taking her back to work after she helped with the egg hunt. And she got in the car with me, and she said, Mrs. Taylor, I've known her since she was born, and she said, Mrs. Taylor, I want to know your story. And I said, what story? And she said, you know, the story of how you came to Jesus, because Pastor told me to ask you your story. And I said, so I told her how I received Christ and my story, and she said, it's so exciting, I have a story of my own now. And I said, you keep telling people that story. And don't be deterred, and it will always be fresh in your mind. And that's how you will win them to Christ. You give them your story. And I thought, what a great thing in a testimony night to say, tell your story.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. So tonight, the title of my Bible study or my sermon simply is A Simple Study of a Simple Phrase. And I'm going to take you through a number of texts through the Bible, and we're going to look at the words, the simple phrase, shall come. And throughout the Gospels into the Epistles, you find this phrase repeatedly used. And I'm going to take you just to different scriptures. We're going to do a little bit of a Bible study on that phrase, shall come. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read to you verses 47 down through 50, but if you'll notice in verse 49, we see that phrase, shall come. And here we see the shall come of the great gathering. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 13, and we're going to pick it up at verse 47, right down through 50. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come. They shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When we look at this text, we find that simple phrase, shall come. But we see this illustration of a great gathering, and we find the Lord used the illustration of a net being cast out into the sea. If you go on a tour in Israel, one of the things they do, at least the tour group we usually go with, they take you out onto the Sea of Galilee. They bring you out into, it's really a tourist fishing boat, but they take a net and they throw it, a circle net like the old fishermen used. And that circle net goes out, it hits the water in a circle and it sinks. And then as it goes down, there's a cord attached to it. And so it comes down and it scoops up. Now, I have never, in all the trips to Israel, seen them catch a fish. We asked one of the tour guides one time, do you ever catch a fish? He said, no, we never catch a fish. And he explained to us, it's because when they do that illustration, we are far out. He says, if you want to catch fish, you have to go close in. And it's going to go down to the bottom, and then maybe you'll catch fish. But when we look here, we see that illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like that net that's cast out and was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered. And what did they do? They sifted the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And we find these scriptures through the New Testament that reference this gathering of the wicked and the just, this separating of the wicked and the just. And we understand that absolutely we have a God who is a God who does recognize the righteous from the unrighteous. And you and I that have received Christ as our Savior, in that great gathering, we have an eternity in heaven promised to us. And that is what we look forward to. But yes, there shall come that gathering. The next text I want to take you to is in Matthew 16. Look with me at Matthew 16, verse 27. But I'm going to read to you verses 14 on down, 24 down through 27. But the shall come is concerning a reward. Look with me at Matthew 16, and I'm going to read to you 24 down through 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come. He shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And so we look and we see that yes, that time of reward shall come. And we know that there are other scriptures that talk about it. It talks about our life's work going into that fire, and all the wood, hay, and the stubble is consumed, and the gold, silver, and precious stone survives and comes out. But even as we see in this text, we are reminded that yes, that day of reward shall come. And you and I are called to be faithful throughout our lives, serving the Lord, so that when that day of reward shall come, we ourselves shall have that gold, silver, and precious stone that we might cast at the feet of Jesus to worship him. The third one I want you to see is in Matthew chapter 24. And here we find again that simple phrase of shall come. Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read to you verse 5. It says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I'm going to take you to another scripture as well. 1 John 2:18. So here we see the shall come of the antichrists. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last times." And so here we find not only Christ referencing the antichrist, we find in 1 John him referencing the antichrist, but he says there are many antichrists. Because we hear the message of evil and the message of wickedness. We hear the message of deception and manipulation that happens around the world. And people chase after false religions and false gods because these antichrists have deceived them. So the scriptures warn us, doesn't it? It warned us of the Joseph Smiths of Mormonism. It warned us of these men of old who would deceive so many to bring in things like Islam and things like that. We know that these antichrists do pop up and rise up, and they deceive many, and we have been warned they shall come. The next one I want to show you is also in the book of Matthew. Look with me to Matthew chapter 25. It's down in verse 31, but I'm going to read to you verses 31 down through 33, and then also verse 41 as well. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left." When you look back at verse 31, it says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory." And so we see this reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his judgment. Look down with me at verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." When we look in this scripture, God warns us. He says, listen, the judgment shall come. And that judgment shall come where he sifts out, even as we talked about in Matthew 13, 49, where that great gathering takes place. He sifts out the wicked from the just. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he brings his judgment. But he shall come. And sometimes we think to ourselves, well, will there ever be justice? Will there ever be right made right and wrong made wrong? And absolutely, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ shall come. It will pass as sure as all the other things the Bible talked about have come to pass. As sure as all the things it's saying are going to come to pass will come to pass. He shall come. I want you to look down with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. And here we'll see another one. Luke chapter 12. The verse that we see the shall come in concerning Christ's return is in verse 38. But I'm going to read to you verses 31 down through 38 of Luke chapter 12. Look with me at verses 31 down through. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags with wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief appeareth, neither a moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yet let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. You and I, as we look for our Lord Jesus Christ, as even talked about in verse 38, if he shall come, we know he shall come. If he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, he's looking for his servants who are waiting and watching for him to come, because he shall come. We are assured of that second coming, and it's part of our faith. It's part of our blessed hope of looking for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall come. It's interesting as we come down through these verses where we find that we are warned so many times that people begin to grow weary. They think to themselves, oh, this won't come to pass, that won't come to pass, but it shall come to pass. Let's move down to the next one that I have for you. And I need to make a mark because I'm losing track here. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 13, verse 29. But I'm going to read to you verses 23 down through 30. But in verse 29, listen for that shall come. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves are thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. See, you and I are those that have come to salvation. That's what he's talking about in verse 29 when he says, and they shall come from the east and the west and from the north and from the south. All around the world, there are people just like you and I who could stand up and give their testimony of salvation. Just like Jonah. Here he is, a young man who had almost a deadly car accident, and it made him realize, I need to seek God, and he came to Christ. Or whether it be Dave, all the way in California, Louie in Vermont, from the north to the south to the east to the west, around the world, we tonight could have people stand up in every corner of the earth and give their testimony of how they came to Christ. The Bible says they shall come. Christ is, he's rebuking those who are religious, but lost. He's telling them, you think you know God, but you're going to weep when you see your forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and them, and they're in heaven, they're with God, but you're going to weep because you don't know God. But he says, from the north, south, east, and west, there will be people who come to salvation just like you and I. And we rejoice in that they shall come. Look with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 21. And here he gives us a warning of ensnarement. Luke chapter 21, verse 36 is the verse we're looking to. But I'm going to read to you verses 34, 35, and 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So here we find him give us a warning, to be careful that we ourselves are not ensnared. He says there will be things that come in our lives. They shall come. Temptations shall come to ensnare us. But he says, take heed. And that short phrase, take heed, simply means be alert, be aware, watch. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overtaken. We have to guard our hearts. Just as we guard our eyes, just as we guard our ears, we have to guard our hearts to make sure that we do not allow those antichrists. We don't allow the wicked one to deceive us. That we don't allow ourselves to be ensnared. He warns us. He says, yes, those temptations shall come, but we must take heed. The next one I want to take you to is over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And here he talks about perilous times that shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 5. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 down through 5. But listen there in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So he warns us in verse 1. He says, listen, perilous times shall come. As we move forward in the days and the ages of time, as we get closer and closer to the time when God will bring those end times, he warns us. He says perilous times will come. Look around and look at the world we live in. Those who are lovers more of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. He says, beware, perilous times shall come. And we have to be aware, and we have to look, and we have to understand that the signs of the times are here. Even this week, we have more and more rumblings in Israel, more and more dangers in the Middle East, more and more things that take place that compel us to ask ourselves, are we there? Are we at the end times? Are we going to hear the trump? Is Christ getting ready to catch us up to be with him forevermore? It could be. It could happen tonight. It could happen before our service is over. It could happen tomorrow. But he warns us. He says, be aware of the perilous times of the end times. The last one I want to show you is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to read you verses 3 down through 7. And here we see the shall come of scoffers. scoffers. There are those who scoff and ridicule the Bible. Look with me at ridicule the Bible and God. 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to verses 3 down through 7. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. When we look back at that verse 3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers. And we do live in that time, don't we? We live in that time when people say, oh, you say Jesus is coming again. Where is he? He hasn't come yet, but he will come. There are those who say, well, you know, the world is still the same. And he says, they're willingly ignorant of what the world shows us. And he talks about creation. And he talks about the pre-flood world and the post-flood world. And he's saying they choose to ignore the way that God works and moves and the things that happen. He says they choose to ignore that this world is reserved to a destruction by fire. He just reminds us. He says, yes, there are people who scoff. They scoff our Bible, they scoff our faith, they scoff our church, they scoff our God. But it doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change God's plan. He is who he is, and he will bring about his will. It shall come. So I took us through a simple Bible study of a simple phrase to show you that sometimes you can sit down in your scriptures and you can begin to search through and you can just be reminded of truth after truth after truth, even by the simplest phrase. You and I tonight can celebrate our salvation because yes, from the north, the south, east, and the west, we have come. We are blessed to have heard the gospel. We are blessed to know Christ. And there are so many who need to know. Amen?
Amen.
That's tonight. It was a little bit more of a Bible study than a sermon. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for coming to the Lord's house tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we go forth. I pray that you give us wisdom and guidance. Help us to honor you. And Lord, we know that there are so many things that shall come. You've promised them throughout your word. Help us to rest, to trust, to believe in you that these things shall come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.